Kum lernen a blat gemorre, we are up to daf mem ches, zem kippur katten, erev resh chedish ir. Resh chedish ir is ani Hashem refecha, so the Eibishter should heal all those who are sick, and especially David Klein is a refuah shlema, so we are all learning, and then hopefully the schus of our learning, you will, and everyone else's tefillahs and learning, he should have a speedy recovery. We're up to the two dots and daf mem ches amud aleph. We're still learning about Hatmana. And now the Gemara goes back a little bit to Mukta. The Gemara has an interesting question. Al Mishnah told us that you're not allowed to store things on Shabbos and recover it completely in something that generates more heat. And the Mishnah gave a number of examples. You're not allowed to use, you know, twigs from olives, leftover from olives, or fertilizer, or salt, plaster, sand. Those, whether they're moist or whether they're dry, they will always generate more heat. But then the Mishnah said, but straw and, you know, the leftover for grapes, but also it says cotton or soft wool. That's meichin. You shouldn't use that as well while they are wet. So the Gemara now has a discussion. About 10 lines on the top. So Rav Adab Masna asked Abaya a question. Meichin. So if you have this cotton, we'll call it cotton, even though the Rashi said before it's any soft material like wool or soft wool, but let's say call it cotton. So Shetoman behen, and you stored a pot inside of them. Mahu letalklan b'shabbos. Remember, we learned, for example, that if it's dry, you're allowed to store because it's not generating more heat, and you're allowed to be matmin in something that does not generate more heat if it's before Shabbos. Is it muktzah? Because generally it's an expensive material, and expense, we had before the concept muktzah machas haron kis, or generally things which are expensive, you usually only use it for its dedicated purpose. So are you allowed to move the pot or the cotton to get to the pot because it is muktzah, or perhaps not? So the Gemara, Ma'al talk on Shabbos, can you go ahead and move them on Shabbos? Omalei said to him, the chi mipnei she'ein loy kupa shel tevin. Just because he, obviously, why did he put in such expensive material? Because he didn't have anything cheaper. He didn't have a box maybe made out of straw that he can store it. So just because he didn't have one, you think that oimer de mafke kupa shel meichin, you think suddenly he has no value anymore? Of course, then it still has a lot of value, and therefore it should be muktzah. And therefore, it's not that this material has not become bottled to whatever's inside there. It's still muktzah in its own right, and you're not allowed to move it. That's what he said. Lema misayele. So the Gemara says, I can support Abaye with the following. But I said, says toimim, you're allowed to hide begizei tzemer in strips of wool, just natural wool, the way it comes off the animal, over tzifei tzemer or combed wool. And you spread it out already. Over shayna shall have gaman of tongue of purple wool after you dyed it and you cleaned it. Like these long tongues that you sell. Over meichin, and it says here, you're allowed to hide in meichin, in his cotton, but the ein metalklin oisan. Because none of these add more heat, they just maintain the heat, preserve it, but you're not allowed to move them. So lechayda, it sounds like none of these you're allowed to move, they're all muks, including the meichin. So this proves that Abaye is right. But the meichin does not lose its value just because you use it for storage. You didn't have a choice, and therefore it is muktzah. Says the Gemara, "Imi shumhar." If that's your whole basis to prove support of Abaye, lo yiriyah, don't mention it. You know why? Because you learned wrong pshat. Hachikama, you think that when it says at the end, "Ein metaltin oisan," is referring to the case that we just learned? No, it's talking about if you did not store something inside these materials, then you should know they're all muktzah and don't move them. But if you did store, then these materials become buckled to the main thing here. And what's the main game here? The main game here is the food that you stored inside, the pot you stored inside, and therefore it's not muktzah the Shabbos. Im loy tamad behenei metaltin oisan. That's how you're supposed to read it. If you did not use it for storage, then these are all separate, these are all chashiv and don't move them because they are muktzah. But if you did use them for storage, then these materials are buckled to whatever you put inside them. That's what the Gemara said. No proof to Abaye. Say, "Mori hachir." That's how you want to read it. And my lemem. And what's the chiddush? What in the world is the Rashi telling you? They not allowed. Of course, you're not allowed. It's muktzah. We know that it's muktzah. Name. Ma'otem. I would have thought that these materials, even though you did not use them for storage, but they do have other permitted uses. Chazi lemizgalai. Maybe you can lean on them. You know, like a cushion or something. Kamash malon. No, that's not the primary use. It's primary use is expensive material, and you'll use it for other things, and therefore it is muktzah. So we don't resolve Abaye's question. But Allah's like Abaye anyway. Rav Chizda allowed on Shabbos to return Udru lebeisadya. He allowed to return, let's say, the cotton that from a pillow, inside a pillow. You're allowed to put it back. B'Shabbat, on Shabbos proper. This is something we learned a few days ago about putting pieces together again. So you got to put the cushion, the filling back into the cushion. The down, the duck, whatever it is. The goose feathers. Eisvei Rav Chana Bachiza, Rav Chiza. Rav Chana Bachiza asked Rav Chiza a question. It says, Matidin Beisat Tzavar B'Shabbos. It used to be that when they used to launder shirts, they used to tie together a whole bunch of shirts and launder it together. Instead of doing individual shirts, they would do three or four or five, whatever at a time, and they used to tie it together. So you're allowed to untie that on Shabbos. But you shouldn't open them up in the first place. You're allowed to untie them, but you're not allowed to, let's say, when it's a shirt, it's a final product, you're not allowed to go ahead and open the shirts to be able to use it. We'll talk about it soon. You're not allowed to place this cotton material. You're not allowed to place it inside a cushion. You're not into a cover. It says clearly you're not allowed to be yomtiv. If you're not allowed to do a yomtiv, ain't talking about Shabbos. What's Rav Chisda saying that you're allowed to stuff a cushion or a pillow with this material when it says clearly you're not allowed to? You know, like kasha, that's not a problem. Depends if it's brand new. If the pillow is brand new and was never there, and you want to fill it for the first time, then what you're doing is you're makabe patish. You're completing the pillow. And we learned before, even though there's no binyan mistid of a kelim, but there's makabe patish. But if it's an old keli, which means that the pillow already had the material, but some of the feathers fell out and you want to put it back in, then you're not doing any makabe patish. You're allowed to. Put it into a pillow to in the cover, but if it wasn't originally and fell out, you can return it. If somebody goes ahead, and let's say you have a shirt, and a brand new shirt, the way they sell it is, it's like sealed together, it's like a thread that holds them all together, and in order to wear it, you have to cut that thread open and open the neck up. So if you do that on Shabbos, now that shirt is not wearable until you actually cut that, you know, through that thread to open it up. We had this in Gemara Makkos, and we'll talk about it another time. If you open it up on Shabbos, chayiv chatas. What chatas? What way did you do? Because this is makab patish. You just completed the shirt. Because until you cut that open, it's not wearable. So you just completed the shirt. Maskel of Kahanov can ask a question. Tell me, ma bein zu lebegufas chavis. How is this different than the case of a cover of a barrel? In the case of a cover of a barrel, we'll learn much later, you're allowed to remove the lid. And you're allowed to put it, so you're breaking open, you're opening the barrel, you cannot drink from unless you open the lid. So it was sealed, you can break open the lid, and so l'chayah isn't that makah b'patish, and the din is allowed to do that. So what's in a shirt and a barrel? Omele Rava says, Rava, ze chibur v'ze ein chibur. The difference is, and the way Rashi learns the pshat is, the difference is that by a barrel, it's two parts. The lid is never part of the barrel, it was added on later, so therefore taking it off is not called makah b'patish. But the shirt, it's always part of the shirt. And therefore, when you wove the shirt, you wove that piece together from the beginning. And therefore, it's considered one piece. And when you cut it open, you're cutting open the shirt. All the Rishayim have a problem with Rashi's pshat. And because the Gemara there talks about it as an opinion in one of the Tanayim that says that you're allowed to, not only break open the lid, you're allowed to even break the barrel. And he used the expression that this is not because you want to make an opening, a Pesach. It's because you want to pour to your guest with an eye in the offer. You want to be generous. So you open up the entire lid and you can even break part of the barrel. So it's a different word altogether. And then there's a whole discussion there, which we'll actually wait till we get to there. And this also has to do with opening, bottles on Shabbos, whether there's a problem of makabe patish or not. So we'll talk about that when we get to that Kufman Vav in a while yet. Actually, in 100 days. Almost. Says the Gemara further, Romi le Rav Yim le Rav Zeder. Rav Yim asked Rav Zeder a question. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Tanan, we learned. He asked the following question. We learned in a Mishnah, Sholol Shol Kofsin. So these people, when they used to do laundering, they used to tie a few shirts together. Big shirts, small shirts, and they did it so they shouldn't lose any of the shirts in wherever they were laundering. So they used to tie them together, and this way they were sure that they will remain with him. But it's definitely meant to be opened up eventually. You know, after you finish washing, you know, sometimes you continue, let it dry together, and maybe, you know, if it gets dirty, to wash it again, but eventually you are going to untie it. So they're not permanent. Or shall shelish shamavteches, you know, a key holder, but you hold a whole bunch of keys, a chain holds a bunch of keys, again, not there for permanent. Or habeged shetofer bebklaim. Or let's say you have two pieces of material of wool that you use to tie the two pieces together with a piece of linen. And definitely, since it's klein, there's no way that this is permanent because you're not allowed to. You eventually going to cut it off. And it's only there for the time being. And yet, we say chibur letumah. The fact is, even though ultimately you are going to untie them and separate them, but right now they're connected. So if, let's say, one shirt becomes tameh, they all become tameh. And if one piece of material becomes tameh because it's connected with this klein, even though eventually you take it off, it all become tameh. Ad sheyas chilahatir, until, even though your intention is to remove it, intention is not enough to cancel a maisa. But if you physically start untying it, so then you're doing a second maisa to cancel the first activity, when you connected it, now you're trying to sever it, then it's no longer considered one piece. And even though you didn't, and the chiddush here is, even though you didn't completely untie it, the fact that you started cutting it, and then one side becomes tameh, the other side does not become tameh. It's already considered disconnected, because you started doing a maisa to show that you want it disconnected. Alma, what do we see from here? But till you did the maisa, let's say you Monday morning you washed all your shirts together, but you didn't untie them till Wednesday. If Tuesday you became tameh, they all become tameh. You finished the activity, there's no need anymore for that, you know, to then be connected right now. Nevertheless, it's considered connected until you physically undo it. So Alma, what do you see from here? Shaloi b'shas malach anam echibah, that even though you're not doing the activity anymore, it's considered attached. So Raminu, let me ask you a question. We learned elsewhere, makol, we learned in the Mishnah, makol, a stick, a piece of wood. Also, yad lekerdim, you took a piece of wood, an ordinary piece of wood, and you decided to use it as a handle for your pot. So you didn't fix it in there permanently. You just temporarily used it for a handle to move your pot about. Chibur letumah then is considered, it's attached for tumah. If, for example, if the pot becomes tummy, the handle becomes tummy, and vice versa. But you know when? Only b'shas melacha, while you need it. In other words, the moment you finish cooking with it, even though the handle, you didn't remove the handle, if the handle becomes tameh, the pot doesn't. So we want to know the difference. Why is it by shalos or kovsin, or by the begich or tofah b'klein, we say that as long as they're attached, it's mekabel, it's mechubel l'tumah, even though you don't need it anymore. And why is it when it comes to the handle of the kerdim, we say that as long as it's attached, sorry, only while you did the melacha. The moment the melacha is over, it's no longer considered attached. What's the difference? It seems like b'shas melacha ain't shalom amaloi. Amaloi, so we answer very simply. Over here, the wood, because the wood has nothing really to do with the pot, you just use it temporarily, is therefore, as a hasam shalom b'shas melacha, once you finish the activity, adam asal l'zorkim, generally people take the wood straight away and toss it away. Hach over here, shalom b'shas melacha, here, okay, so since over there they generally toss it away straight away, even though you didn't, it's as if it had nothing to do with the keli anymore. Over here, there are times that people would leave it connected because they think there's an advantage and leave it connected even after you wash the clothing, that maybe if it gets dirty again, it'll be easy to rewash. If you drop it somewhere on the way home or somewhere while it's home, it falls down. As long as I'm not wearing it, it's better to be attached. So in case I have to rewash all those shirts, they're attached already. So there is a purpose, less significant than before, but there is a purpose in having them continue to be connected, and that's why it's considered chibur. Hocha shaloi b'shas melacha, here, even when you're not doing the activity of laundering, na minichle, you're also happy for it to be connected. Why? The e mitnefu, if it becomes dirty, hada mechavel, they can afterwards go ahead and clean it out. And so therefore, you don't mind it still being attached. That's the difference. Okay, so the yad to kardam is only b'shas melacha. And then the other things, shalosh kovsin and shalosh mafteches, even after melacha. Says in Gemara Besuda, in Suda, Masnul Hashmaita, Mashmeid Rav Chizda. In Suda, the following, which we haven't learned yet, they learned in the name of Rav Chizda, but in Pumbedista, Masnul Hashmaid Rav Kana, it said the name of Rav Kana. But Amnul, and others even say, it's Mashmeid Rava. And what is it? What did they say that everybody's arguing who said it? This is what they said. Man Tana Ha Milsa, who learned, who's the author of this opinion, of this din? Amar Rabbanan, the Rabbanan said, Kola Mechubulai Harei Kamayu. That anything that is attached, even though it's not really part of you, but anything that's attached, is considered connected to you. It's considered, and for tumah purposes, it's considered tameh. Amar Rabbi Rav, Rameiri, L'chayda, the author of that, is Rameir. Why? The Tanan, we learned, We learned Beis HaPach. So, for example, we learned before that in the case of the clothing, even though they're separate clothing, by attaching it all together, one shirt becomes Tameh, all the shirts become Tameh. And we don't say, oh, the first shirt is let's say, original Tumah, and then the second shirt is Sheni, because by clothing, it cannot be, only Oichel and Mashkin can become Tameh. You know, original can be Tameh and Sheni. So it means that they all become Tameh in unison, all at the same time. So it must be the considered Chibur. And the question is, who holds that? So we found the following Mishnah. It says, Beis HaPach, you have a stove, and attached to the stove you have little like canisters or something, or little sections, and utensils that are part of the stove. You attach it to the stove, and one of them, for example, you have a pach of oil. And this oil you want, let's say, to become warm. So they usually stored the oil right next to the stove, so when the fire is on the stove, it would warm up the oil a little bit. Or you had a Beis HaTavlin, you had another spice. You had a canister there for spice attached to the stove as well. Or Beis HaNer. Or you had a candle holder there attached to the stove. Shebekira. The din is metamin b'maga. If you touch, for example, if some asheretz falls inside this kira, and it's metame the entire kira, then all of these canisters that are attached to the kira, they'll also become tummy, because it's considered one piece. It's all one. However, the ein metamin ba'avir. We know that by a klei cheres, it becomes tamei if a sheres is suspended in the air, and even though it didn't touch anything, that kira becomes tamei. Then the din is, but the these little chambers on the side do not become tamei with it. We'll soon see what the logic in that is. But Rab Shimon says metai. Rab Shimon is consistent. He says it's not metame avir and not metame separate. It has nothing to do with the stove. The stove doesn't need these little compartments, and therefore it's not part of the stove. The stove becomes tame. They themselves don't become tame. But what do you see? The man holds clearly the concept of chibur. He holds a stove is attached to these canisters, these compartments attached to the stove, and they all become tame. So that's the author, the one who holds that, you know, the case of the laundering and all that, they all, because they're attached right now, they all become tummy. Says the Gemara, Bishleim, let's understand. According to Rav Shimon, I understand this for very simple. Somebody holds lofty kira tummy. It's not part of the kira, it doesn't become tummy. El Rameh is hard to understand. He says that it's considered one as far if it becomes tummy by touching, but it's not considered one if it becomes tummy through the avir. So the shed is suspended in the air. What's the difference? Ika kira tummy, it we consider all one part in the field of avir and amulet. Then even if it became tummy through the avir, it should become tummy. And ilavki kira tummy, tummy is not considered one. Then a field of maganami, even though the stove became tummy by a shed is touching it, so what? Why should the compartments on the side become tummy? A rishon cannot make, you know, sheretz is the keli, the kid is a rishon, and a rishon cannot be metamik, a keli cannot be metamik, other kelim. The only way it can become tummy if there's one piece, so manushach, is it one piece or not? Says the Gemara. Was that from maga namlu tam, shem kam tummy even maga? Says the Gemara, no, lo elam lav kikir dummy, ma tayr, it's not really one piece. Navos, the Rabbanu said that these compartments, because they look like they're attached, it looks like they're one piece, and we want people not to get confused, so we'll consider it as one piece. Now, so therefore, we will gaze it that if a sheretz touches the kira, they all become tummy with it. But we decided avir to remove that gzeda. What's the logic? We'll see in a minute. So you might ask, if the rabbanim made a gzeda to make it tummy because it looks like one compartment, like one piece, then I feel avir amilit. Then why not in the case where then avir? So you might, we had this concept a number of times before. Avdu behu rabbanim hekeda. The rabbanim decided to make some kind of a heker. People don't understand the difference is if something is tummy mahatoida and truma touches it, you have to burn it. If something is tummy the rabbanon and truma touches it, you just leave it. You don't burn it. And people don't necessarily know what's mahatoida, what's the rabbanon. It's very complicated. So we decided to make a distinction here. They'll see ba'avir, if it's the kira and the sheretz is suspended the avir, the compartments don't become tummy. They rather realize, hey, it's not tummy. So how come when it touches the kira, it is tummy? It must be the rabbanon. So they won't proceed to burn truma if it touches this case, this stove over here. Okay, so we found that the author of the concept of you attach things, even though it's not part of it, it comes one piece, is Rav Meir. Says the Gemara, we learned, if you have a scissor made of parts. Now, this is different, even though it's two parts, this is different than the cases before, because in this case over here, so basically, we're going to have three cases now. Here we're talking about a scissor made up of two parts, but they both work together in unison. The two parts, basically more components, and they make up one piece. So they work together. So they're much more mechuba than all the other ones. Then the case on top of the page we had that the disparate shirts, but you tie them together for a particular purpose. And therefore, we said that if you have any purpose afterwards, it's considered one. And then we had the case of the handle and the pot, which have nothing to do with each other. and you just happen to use it really temporarily and only a one-off, and you plan to toss it away. So we'll say as follows. I'm a scissor made up of parts. And you have this like a plane or a sharp knife and use it to flatten that wood. And the way you do it, they used to make a mold inside the wood and put this particular sharp knife into that mold. And then after they finished the work, they were taken out of there. So it's considered one. When it comes to tame, if you touch the wood, the metal, everything becomes tame. But the ain chibul hazah. But if when it comes to metairit, if something becomes tummy mace, you have to sprinkle the eif of the parah duma on it and kalim as well. Over here, if you spray it, for example, on the knife or on the scissor, for example, on one part of the scissor, the other part of the scissor does not become tur. So when it comes to tuma, it's considered one piece. When it comes to the kula of hazah, it's not considered one piece. So you want to ask, what's the logic? Manushach. I don't understand. Ichibru, you tell me the scissors viewed as one scissor. Then I feel like, oh, then why can't you spray one side and automatically? Like, you don't have to, you know, immerse the whole thing in water. A sprinkle is sufficient. And ilav chibru avil tum nami lay. Should also be not. Amar says, Rava, dvar teira, according to the teira, b'shas, according to the teira, b'shas melacha chibru, according to the teira. Mahatayda, definitely it's one piece. It's considered mechuber. Not like in the previous cases where it's not really mechuber. It's not really mechuber one piece. It's only no machmer, that's one piece. Here, mahatayda is one piece because even though the two disparate parts, they work together as one keli. Together, they become a scissor. So mahatayda b'shas melach chibur bein l'tumah bein l'hazah mahatayda. When you're using it, it's one. Whether to be machmer to make it when you touch one side of the scissors, the other side becomes tummy, whether you want to make it to hazah. But b'shalay b'shas melacha, but let's say you're not using it as a scissor. In those days, the scissors used to come apart all the time and put it away and put in parts. But if you're not using it, then ein l'chibur. Then it's not considered one. Loy l'tumah loy l'hazah. Right? It's not considered attached. You have no need for it to be together. And it's very easy to put it together. The gozu rabbonon. So what? The rabbonon decide as follows. When... because it's confusing, b'shas melacha, shoyv lach melacha, so b'tumah, which is a chumra, we're going to be machmer, we're going to say that it's that if you touch one part, even after you finish working, it's metame the other part. We're going to say that even shaloy b'shas melacha, you touch one side of the scissor, becomes tummy. If it's still attached, the other side becomes tummy as well. But when it comes to hazor, which is a kula, you're trying to make a tar, you're trying to be lenient, then we're going to be machmer the other way around. Since shaloy b'shas melacha, it's not considered as one piece, then we're going to be machmer that even b'shas melacha, while using it as a scissor, if you only sprinkle one side of the scissor, the other side does not become tar. Because it's confusing, it's easier to make all the laws the same. So the gozer rabban al tum shaloy b'shas melacha, shaloy b'shas melacha, we're machmer by tumah that even shaloy b'shas melacha is considered one. Or the hazor, which is a kula, shaloy b'shas melacha, mishum hazor. That b'hazor shebishas melacha mishazor melacha b'hazor. We decided that even though during melacha definitely is considered one piece mehatayra. So if you sprinkle one side, it's one tayra. We're going to be machmer and say no. It's like two pieces because we are worried that when you're not using it, you'll think that it's also tayra when you only do one side, when in fact it isn't. Let's finish till the Mishnah. So we said in the Mishnah, while these things are moist, if these things are moist, they generate heat, like you know cotton and all of those things. But if they're dry, they don't generate heat. Like straw and all that, only when it's wet. Yiboyelhu, with the question, lachen machmas atzmen, when you say they are moist, are they talking about moist from itself? Or machmas davarach, or something else? That if something is essentially moist itself, it generates, it's much warmer, it generates more heat than if you poured something on it, and then after dried, it doesn't have the same effect. So which one is it? Toshma, come here. It says, don't use straw, don't use the leftovers of the grapes, or the soft materials, or grass, while they are wet, right? So straw, we're talking about internally wet, sitting in a damp place, or we're talking about that it rained or something on it. So it's like this. One of the cases is meichin, which can also be wool. Now, what do you mean? How does wool become wet naturally? It came wet through some external reasons. Shop, it makes sense. Wool becomes wet from externally. Atzman becomes wet on its own. And even then, it generates more heat. How do you find wool on an animal that it should be wet on its own, damp on its own? Says the Gemara. Mimarta de bene atma. Mimarta literally means pulled out. So usually you shear the wool off an animal, but we're talking about the wool that's between the legs, between the thighs, and that's always moist. And over there, they pluck it out rather than they just shear it, and because it's full of perspiration, and that's natural moistness. And it says Gemara v'hoda tani. Could be learned. Rabbi Yisha said, "Tainu, you're allowed to store b'chsos yivesha in a dry clothing because it's like a towel. It doesn't generate heat; it just preserves the heat. Or paid as yivesha in a dry fruits; it just preserves the heat. Avoloi b'chsos lacha, but not in a wet clothing. V'loi b'paid as lachin, nor with wet paid as." Ksus lacha machmas ach mehemish kachla. How do you find materials for clothing that it should be naturally wet? Why would they be naturally wet? And we say, now we understand pshat. Mimarta de beni atme, from the wool that you take between the thighs that naturally is always perspiring there, and that is naturally wet. So therefore, it's possible that our Mishnah, when it says wet, it means only naturally wet, not if it became wet through another cause. Okay, we're up to the next Mishnah.